Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
With the third pick of the 2025 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks select from Djurgården, Anton Frändell.
It's an amazing feeling. I'm still shocked. It was a blackout when I heard my name, and now I finally have a new favorite NHL team, and I'm happy to be here. Really happy.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the first of three first-round draft picks by the Blackhawks. Anton Frändell, Swedish player. I believe we nicknamed him the Swedish Tank.
Yeah, the Swedish Tank.
Because he plays like a tank.
Yeah, he does. Plays like a tank, shoots like a missile. How sweet it is.
And that was Jeremy Roenick was the man announcing the pick.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great to see that happen, and the Blackhawks hope to get better, and we are delighted to welcome in Frank Saravelli. You see him on the Chicago Sports Network, and he is kind enough to join us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Frank, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good to be with you guys again.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. And the Blackhawks, you know, Anton Frändell, Vaclav Nestrosil at 25, he's 6'6". And then maybe the most curious one, they traded up to the 29th pick overall to get Mason West, who is a high school quarterback, 17-year-old Minnesota native, who's going to play his last season of high school football before he turns his attention full-time to hockey, which is pretty extraordinary. I think he's already going to play hockey at Michigan State as well. What were your thoughts on their haul in the first round of the draft?
Well, first off, I'm an absolute sucker for the Mason West pick. I think you try and go after as many pure athletes as you can, and it's not often that you get a player that's willing to bypass college football offers to potentially go play in the NHL. I just think he's that exceptional of an athlete. And if you've seen any of the balls that he's thrown as a quarterback, you'll understand that that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg of what this guy could be on the ice. And not only that, but has the size as well. That's the other thing that stands out about the Blackhawks draft class, is just how big some of these picks are, particularly in the back half of the draft. But look, you don't get a shot to take a pick that often. That's that much of a sort of, it's not a risk, but that much of a blank canvas as Mason West is. And so with all the attention on Anton Frändell, rightfully so, man, you see players, particularly coming out of Minnesota, it's hit or miss. You could get an Anders Lee type player who's been the captain of the New York Islanders for a while. Or I remember a few years ago, a team, the Colorado Avalanche, took another Minnesota high school quarterback whose dad played in the NFL. Mark Ault was his name. And sometimes those guys pan out, sometimes they don't. He still ended up playing 20 NHL games, but nonetheless, lots of reasons to be excited about the Hawks draft class.
I love that pick too, Frank. I thought it was bold by Kyle Davidson, and he called it himself a grand slam hack. So he's taking his swings, and they're big ones. Frändell at three made a lot of sense after Misa went off the board. Just curious, when you look at Frondell, we talk about his shot, and then we know about his size. How far away is he? Is he going to return to Sweden for one more year of professional hockey, or how fast can he get to Chicago?
My guess is that Frondell gets a little taste of NHL action in that he probably ends up playing a handful of games to start the year and then goes back to Sweden. I think that's probably the best course of action. Get him acclimated to your system, your structure, how you run your team. Have him acclimated to the players and the coaching staff so he knows exactly what expectations are. And then set him free and send him back to Sweden where he can develop at his own pace without the pressure of trying to make it in the NHL right away. So I think that's probably the plan. I see a really conscientious two-way center with an incredible shot that has size. That's kind of exactly, if you're looking at the Hawks depth chart organizationally, exactly what they needed. I'm still not entirely sold that Connor Bedard or Frank Nazar are centers. And if just one of those guys pans out to be a center, and you've got Frondell for the long term, that's a pretty solid 1-2 punch down the middle, which is exactly how you build your team.
You know, I'm curious, Frank, when I read about Mason West and I saw all the quotes and everything, there was also someone suggested that there is a rule in the NHL that if you draft a guy in the first round, according to the CBA, and he never plays for you, like he doesn't become a hockey player or whatever, he never arrives, then you get a compensatory second-round pick 4 years after you selected him. I don't know if that rule holds for top 10 guys or if it includes everyone in the first round, but did they give themselves some cover in case Mason West, you know, they moved up with a couple of picks to move back into the first round. Is that to give themselves cover in case he ends up as a quarterback?
So the way the rule works is it only happens if the compensatory pick only gets transferred to you if the player does not sign an NHL contract. Now, obviously, going or likely to go the college path, that is going to run the clock a bit. And so there's no real rush to sign an NHL contract because you can't while you're in college. But by and large, almost every player that's picked inside the first round ends up signing that NHL contract. And so you don't see a lot of compensatory picks offered. So that probably won't come to fruition, and I don't think they're really even thinking about cover. I think their thought process was, we have a chance to get an exceptional athlete, and we believe in his traits and some of the raw ability that we saw, and if it doesn't work out, we've had a pile of first-round picks over the last number of years that we at least took a swing that was worthy of taking the bat off the shoulder.
So, Frank, NHL free agency tomorrow, it begins, and the Hawks, I'm not quite sure what their approach will be. The cap increases to $95.5 million, up $7.5 million from last year, and I think that empowers and creates some flexibility for a lot of teams that might have approached free agency differently. Kyle Davidson has made 11 first-round draft picks in 4 years. It's time to start surrounding those young players with veteran talent. How aggressive do you expect the Hawks to be in free agency?
Not overly aggressive, to be honest. Last year, they had signed a bunch of players, a bunch of vets. The best way I can explain it, aside from maybe Tyler Bertuzzi, was probably to bring in players that are more warm bodies than significant contributors. They needed to fill out roster spots. They needed to ice a lineup. And they had to spend to get to the salary cap floor in order to do it. So their thought process was, let's go, you know, provide a little cushion here so that we can get there. The season obviously didn't go as planned. Coaching change, roster upheaval, players moved out toward the deadline, and the Hawks didn't take as big a step as probably they were even expecting or hoping to. Now, this time around, the free agent class, there's a couple big names at the top of it. But after that, I think with you, the magic words that you used were the cap increasing and how much it's readjusted expectations from agents and free agents to now be in a spot where these players that were previously earning $3 million are now earning $5 million. And it's now taken such a big leap that we probably need to rewire our brains as to what the new NHL cap environment looks like and what contract expectations are. And with that, short of, you know, going out to get a game breaker like a Mitch Marner, which I think the Hawks probably would have wanted to engage in conversation with, even though they probably were not going to be a likely destination, and he's very likely to end up in Vegas, that, look, they're probably going to be looking at the lower end of the scale here in terms of more pieces to bring in, because this isn't the time for them yet to really get involved in some of those marquee players.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it worrisome, the kind of delay to the development of Connor Bedard, and is that connected to not having, you know, enough people around him? Do they need... going into the, do they need like a top six winger, let's say, to help him to improve his game? We've heard plans to do that before, but it never really seemed to come to fruition.
Well, I think there's a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes that we haven't yet really been able to feast our eyes on. It sounds like the Blackhawks strength and conditioning team and their skills coaches have really spent a lot of time with Connor Bedard this summer. Remember, he passed up a chance to play for Canada at the Worlds.
Yeah.
I think needed a total physical and mental reset. And the reports coming from out west appear to be very exciting as a guy that has apparently totally revamped his offseason training and is probably going down the path of undoing a couple years worth of poor habits. So I'm really bullish on what we see from Connor Bedard next. Apparently he's in a short period of time this offseason has taken some significant strides, and that's the change that needed to happen in my view. It wasn't that the Hawks need to surround him with better pieces. They're in a holding pattern for right now. They're not ready to take that next step. Part of it is that we need to see the growth from Bedard himself before some of those other things can begin to come to fruition.
That's really interesting, Frank, and great insight. And I just wonder what your opinion is, or maybe you know, part of those conversations, how much they involve Connor Bedard maybe wanting to stay as a center. And maybe there's some people in the organization that look at him and say, well, you know what, you're going to be more effective on the wing. And there is a big difference in terms of his projection and in terms of what he's most comfortable playing. If you had to guess, what is in Connor Bedard's future in terms of the position?
My guess, and this is just my hunch, having seen him play really consistently, is that he's probably trending more towards a winger than a center. And I think some people will hear that and say that that's an admission of failure or that he's not panning out the way that he should. It's just that every strong player growing up, just like on every major league team, there's, you know, players that hit at the bottom of the lineup that, you know, or used to being the superstar that hit cleanup. Everyone that was really good growing up played center. That's you had the most ice time, the most responsibility, the most time with the puck on your stick. That's just how it works. And at the NHL level, I think his skill set is probably better suited toward having a little bit less responsibility and potentially to get the puck in his hands more quickly as a transporter on the wing to then be effective really on zone entries and things like that. So I don't view it as a negative. I just view it as a different viewpoint. And that's not to say that he can't play center. It's just that I think in the end, playing with the right center and him on the wing, you might be able to unlock more productivity and potential.
Frank, we've talked about Mason West and Antoine Frondell. What about Vaclav Nestrosil, the 25th pick in the draft? How does he apparently kind of had a really good second half to last year. He's getting bigger, mm-hmm. getting stronger. I mean, he's 6'6", but he needs to be bulked up a bit. What are your thoughts on him and what he can do and how long it'll take?
Yeah, it's going to be a little while for him. I think he's a bit more of a project and a projection. I had a chance to see him play in game 5 in person of the Clark Cup final in the USHL. And so definitely some potential, very noticeable. The size obviously is what stands out in such a big way. And I think that really became the theme of not just the Hawks draft, but this entire 2025 NHL draft. 224 picks and 29 of them were under 6 foot. So once you got to the back half of what was really viewed as a very average or below average draft class as a whole in terms of depth, that I think the Hawks were in similar situations to a lot of teams where they didn't necessarily love what they had on their board. And they said, and this doesn't include Nestrosil, by the way, but it's more so for the picks in rounds 3 through 7. I don't think a lot of these teams really loved what they were looking at, and they were like, well, let's take a flyer then on, you know, a 6'6" mutant that we might be able to turn into a hockey player. And you know what? Some teams went the other way. Some teams said, you know what? I'm going to take a shot in these last couple of rounds on a 5'7" or 5'8" water bug and see if we can have him adapt to playing with the big boys in the NHL. So it depends on which way you went to look at it. I think the Hawks have demonstrated to this point in time under Kyle Davidson that they have a huge preference for size, and that's how they plan to build this team. And by the way, it's not just about size, because there's a lot of big guys that don't play hard. It's also about an edge, and that's one thing that I'd really like to see the Hawks try and tackle in free agency is get a couple players, or on the trade market, get a couple players that make your team more difficult to play against.
No doubt about that.
Great stuff. Frank, thank you. A lot of great information. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Terrific stuff.
Frank Saravelli.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.